and TSN hockey analyst, a presentation of the Myers Automotive Group. Mike, to you with failing hands, we throw the show, be yours to hold it high.
There's only so much one man can do. So, although I was not up as late as you, you know what? It's interesting in that, you know, I am down in Carolina and this could be a tough game for them tonight, which we will get to. But, you know, for all the consternation that fans justifiably have and the questions they want answered and changes they want to be made, and also when the team is struggling like the Sens are right now, it's always a reminder to me that it bothers them way more by a factor of 1,000 more than it bothers you, a fan. And that's not to diminish what fans are feeling and how they're reacting to this team, but just to say that the guys that are playing, it is an absolutely miserable time. It is no fun. I don't care if it's the NHL. They're not enjoying themselves. Their pride is hurt. Their ego is hurt. Their competitive spirit is hurt. And it's no good. So it would be a long, quiet trip down to Raleigh, get in late, drag yourself out of bed, try to find the energy and the emotion and what you need to play today. And that is no easy task.
MJ, you've been on lots of teams, and that would be one of my fears, though. Do you really feel like, and I won't single out, but players that are veteran players have seen better days, or players that are on expiring contracts, do you really think they're miserable or just waiting for their day to get out of town?
Both?
Yeah.
I mean, you can do both, right? I mean,
That's my worry, though, is that you're checking out in a sense. I may be miserable, but that's what I would worry about right now. The young players, hey, long haul, we're going to be here, I think, for the long part. But on teams that you've been on, is that the fear, or is that what ends up happening?
Yeah, absolutely. I have a bit of experience playing on terrible teams. And two things, right? Like, so there's the people that you kind of know are going to get traded, whether you have an expiring contract or you fit in that group. And, you know, I don't know if that's Chris Tierney. I don't know if that's Zach Sanford, you know, whatever, Nick Holden, Forsberg, like all those guys. If you're an UFA right now, maybe Nick Paul they're going to want to keep around. But just about everybody else, they're probably going to trade. And so those guys will be waiting to get traded. But even for the guys that are sticking around, when you go on a run that gets particularly bad, and this one is approaching particularly bad, you know, no matter where you are as a team, as an organization, that changes happen. Like, you just don't do this for 30, 40 games, right? And they're coming up on 20, 25 games of it. And what I would be worried about is, you know, obviously the damage of the guys that are playing, that are going to be around long-term, and like what the losing does to them. But also, if the team starts thinking a change is going to happen, whether it's a big trade or a coach or like whatever it might be, oftentimes that team stops playing until that thing happens. Like, they just kind of get in a holding pattern saying, okay, well, so a shakeup's coming, and then it's a fresh start when that shakeup happens, and you kind of, you forget to play while you wait for that to happen, and then the likelihood of you winning games and getting out of the rut that you're in becomes even more remote. I've been on teams where that's happened. See Tampa in 2000, and we were waiting, and Steve Ludzik was eventually fired, and John Tortorella took over from him, and then the team started to play a bit better. So that's what I'd always be concerned with, among other things, with Ottawa right now.
That would be known as the swirl, right? Which the Sens appear to be caught in right now. And I don't know whether you were traveling last night, whether you watched the whole game or you've seen highlights.
I watched it.
Okay.
I watched it.
It seemed to me, and again, I don't know if this is rock bottom. You don't know where rock bottom is until you start emerging from the other side. But it just, the body language from the players, and I'm not even counting a couple of skirmishes in the third period when the game was well lost, the body language was of a dispirited bunch, which speaks exactly to the point of the players, it appears to me, through my television, are waiting for the other shoe to drop now. Fair?
Yeah, probably. But also, like, understandably. I mean, they're so frustrated. They won one game in their last 10. They're last in the league. They're worse than Arizona, who got off to, like, one of the worst starts in the history of the NHL. So they should be dispirited. They should be frustrated. They should. Now, you want to channel that into the passion and the will to push back. But, you know, when you're getting scored on and you're making mistakes and it just seems like every night different things happen that let the games get away from you, it's a human reaction. So, yeah, it's not good, and, yeah, I agree with you, but I'm also understanding of how it happens, because I probably was the same. I was that same guy, and I would fashion myself as a relatively mature professional athlete and you know, a good team person, all the rest of it. But you're also a human, and you have human reactions to tough situations. And that's what DJ and the group would be juggling with right now, because they are in, as an all-time understatement, a tough situation. And they got to figure out, and I think that's where, like, what are they, so they're not going to make the playoffs. Okay. That ship has long since sailed. What are they doing this year? Like, what are they doing this year to get better so that they're better, in a better spot going forward? Like, how are they approaching this year? What are they doing with their roster? Like, that's the answers they're searching for. Like, what are we doing here? Like, how do we get this group? Because no group is 9 points in 20 games bad in the NHL. No one's a 36-point team. There's no such thing. Not in the NHL. It's too close. So what are they going to do differently to make sure that the next 20 games are much better than the first 20?
And you look at this, Johnny, is this just a terrible hockey team? Are they underachieving, or is it all the above? And I say that, I mean, I couldn't point and say, to be honest with you, the coaching change, all of a sudden they're going to win a bunch. Is equal blame on the general manager and coach at this point?
I think when you are where they are in the standing, there's plenty of responsibility to go around, and nobody is immune to it. Players, coaches, management. But I think if you were to look at this team for the regular season and you're trying to evaluate it and you think about the really strong finish to last year's season, you know, is this a group that could do much better? And clearly, at least publicly, the organization thought so. And I guess I would expect them to say, you know, we expect to be better, rebuild over, whatever. It wasn't. And they're not that good yet. They're still sorting it out. Now, the great equalizer in hockey is goaltending. And you look at Detroit. Is Detroit a really good team, or are Nedeljkovic and Greiss just playing, you know, helping their team in games where they get outplayed? If you're a below-average team and you get poor goaltending, these are the results that follow. And I think that's the first place you're looking at, maybe a misjudgment by the management, or, you know, the roster's not quite good enough, is the goaltenders. And it's the most important position, especially for a team that's trying to grow and improve, that's not quite there, that will need help from their goalies to sustain moderate success throughout the season. So, yeah, it's on everybody, but including the coaches and including the management.
How do you stop the swirl? Like, that's the first thing. You gotta put a hand in the dike here to stop as the holes keep starting to appear. Otherwise, it just keeps getting worse and worse. So, in your opinion, is it, and I'm not talking about a stupid trade, I'm talking about a trade to bring in a viable NHL caliber player, whatever position we're speaking about, or is it a complete change in the structure defensively? Like, how do you stop the swirl if you're the Ottawa Senators?
Yeah. Although you want to make change for change's sake, you can't, right? Like, you have to make if you're going to make a change in personnel, it has to make sense long term. You can't be throwing away assets to just, you know, stir up the group to bust them out of their malaise. So that's the challenge. It's got to be one that makes sense. You can't just waste assets that are hard to come by. If it was me, if I'm DJ and the players, and I'm sure they've had this conversation, so it's not news, but I watch some of the breakdowns that they have defensively. And while they may not be the best defensive players in the world, it's too much, it happens too often, and the breakdowns are too severe. Like, that's where I put all my focus, and they're going to need it tonight. Like, everything in me would be, okay, how do we get better defensively? I'm not worried about my young guys scoring. I'm not worried about the power play. That'll take care of itself. They're pretty talented players. I'm worried about how do we get this group to learn how to play on their own end. And you don't have to have the best defensemen in the world. Like, I understand there's maybe second and third pairs are limited somewhat in their personnel. But everybody in the NHL, every NHL team can be better than they have been in their own end. And so that's where I start my focus, and just like baby steps, let's just try to be better in our own end and see where that takes us.
How much of an excuse do you say to injuries? And again, they didn't have depth, but at least with White and Pinto being out and now going through COVID, where this may be a time in a perfect storm where there is no energy and you got to give it a little time here to see what you have.
Simmer. If we're saying that Colin White and a player of six, how many games did Shane Pinto play before this year?
12.
Four?
12.
12? Okay. Yeah. Colin White and a guy who's played 12 games, albeit a good player, and I really like Shane Pinto, and he was and is very important. If that's what it takes to send your team off the rails to be the worst team in the league, I mean, that speaks to how good your roster is. So, yes, injuries don't help. Yes, COVID, and I can't even, you know, and we have to be sympathetic. I don't know what it feels like to come back from COVID and try to play pro sports. It's really, really hard. We've had a lot of players and a lot of teams try to do it and have managed it a little bit better than Ottawa has. So, yes, it's something to consider, but I don't know about that, but I know injuries, to me, I can't let them off the hook. For those two players, I can't.
You got to work with me here. I am doing 4 hours.
of all the guys I didn't expect to ask that question, Simmer, you're the guy.
No, it has been, in the darkest, smallest circles, has been mentioned. And I just wonder internally, like, what are you coming up with? Because last year when we talked to Donnie Granato, he said, hey, when it rolled through the team, but that was unvaccinated athletes. So, hey, I'm just looking at it. And, no, I got nothing else.
Okay. All right. You've kind of laid out a little bit of a plan to be better in their own end. How long will that, should that take for them to find a way somehow, systems-oriented, whatever, to get better in their own end?
Well, this is the problem, because this is not news to the team. If they could do it, they would have already done it, right? and so I'm not telling DJ Smith anything he doesn't already know or has tried. You know what? Like the ability to play without the puck, to me, is something that every NHL player should be proficient at. Obviously, some are better than others, and some physically are better than others. But the mistakes you're seeing, the blown coverages, the puck management, guys out of position, that's like just hockey awareness and paying attention. So I don't think that takes long. This is not splitting the atom. This is not complex stuff. It's just hockey. Something they've all played. There's no system that DJ Smith's going to devise that is going to confuse everyone. Like, it should be implemented in the span of a few days. Whatever it is they're trying to do, if they're fully committed to doing it and are maybe astute enough on the ice to pull it off, which I think everyone should be. So it is not a 3-week process. Like, this is a couple days at best. Here's some video clips. Here's what we're doing. This is where you go. This is where we protect. Figure it out, be an athlete, play hockey like you always have, and pay attention. Like, that's all you're really asking. And maybe that seems like not very much, but at times it seems like an awful lot for the team.
Does that scare you when at the same point last year he called Pete DeBoer and switched his system, which we knew wouldn't work, and now here we are a year later and you're talking about the same thing? If it's been discussed and is implemented, then obviously the message is not getting through.
Or, like, somehow the players are incapable, and I don't know which one's less believable. Like, I mean, guys want to win. Guys want to be better. Guys want to do what the coach says. So, you know, I don't think they're out there, Adam Gaudette, saying, new team, I'm just going to leave Tanner Pearson because he's an old buddy of mine standing alone in front. Like, but he did, right? Like, and I'm not exactly sure why. Like, that kind of stuff is, it can happen on a one-off because the game is a game of mistakes, but it happens all the time to everybody in Ottawa. So, yeah, it is clearly the message is not being understood, because I got to believe the message is being delivered. It's not being understood, or it's not, the team is not able, I doubt they're not willing, they're not able to implement it. And I'm not sure which one is worse. I guess if they're not able, like if the team is not capable of playing a better brand, that's a concern, because that means he needs some new players who are.
How surprised are you now in retrospect? We're at the quarter pole of the season. The Sens have played 20 games. How surprised are you that they're where they're at?
I'm very, quite frank. Like, I wasn't one of the people that thought, okay, you know what? They're going to make the playoffs, or they're going to, you know, challenge, you know, maybe the best 14 in the division. I wasn't there yet, but I was certainly aboard. They're going to be better. They're going to be around it. They're going to be. I thought they'd push Montreal for fifth, or you know what I mean. I thought like that would be the battle they'd be in. I thought Detroit and Buffalo would be below them, but I thought they'd be jockeying and trying to push Montreal. There would be progress. There would be, they would move up the standings. They would no longer be kind of like one of those teams at the very bottom, and they'd be a team trying to transition into the we are chasing a playoff spot. Didn't think they'd get there. They're in a tough division this year, but I am shocked. I'm shocked that Matt Murray is in the minors. Like, I'm shocked that it's come to this quickly. We're only 7 weeks into the season, and it's so far off the rails. The season is over, unfortunately, as far as the playoff chases. But there is still lots to accomplish, and so they have there's 5 months left of this. You can't keep doing what they're doing. It would be hellish for anyone. So I'm stunned, as I'm sure the organization and the players are.
Thoughts on Carolina? What we're going to see tonight, Johnny?
It's going to be, there might not be a worse team to play against than Ottawa right now. Like, literally, there might not be a worse team for them to play against. Carolina is relentless in their pressure, in their forecheck, in their neutral zone. They just put pressure on you the entire game to make good decisions, manage the puck properly, and defend well. And even in games they're losing against good defensive teams, they're out shooting the teams they play against 40-20. They're one of the best five teams in the league, and they play the same every single night. Now, maybe it's good because Pesci and D'Angelo are out with COVID, so they are a little bit thin on the back end, so that hurts them. But coming off a back-to-back, yet in late, Carolina makes you play with pace and energy and emotion. They bring it just about every night. It's a tough matchup. I'm curious to see Carolina to see how good they are, because I believe they're one of the best teams in the league, and I'm maybe hopeful for Ottawa they don't show it tonight.
Well, it's always nice when you're wallowing to wallow with someone else. In Philadelphia, they've lost 7 games in a row. The Sens have lost 6 games in a row. And expectations, I think it's fair to say, were way higher in Philly than they were in Ottawa. So what, in your opinion, is wrong in Philadelphia? And is the potential there of something big happening pretty good?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, I think the potential is absolutely there. That they are a team built to compete and were expected to compete for the playoffs and maybe more this year, and it's not going that way. When I watch them, I watch them, and I'm not sure I see who they think they are, how they have to play to be successful. You know what I mean? Like, game in, game out, sometimes it looks like they want to be an offensive team, sometimes it's a defensive team, sometimes they rely on stars, sometimes it's goaltending. Like, I don't see a consistent, this is how we play when we win. And we try to do that all the time. And that kind of shows like a drift in the players' coaching connection. And that's not good. And so I could absolutely see something happening there. We're at that point in the season for the teams that think that they're supposed to be pretty good, whether it's Montreal, whether it's Vancouver, whether it's Philly, teams that are underachieved to that extent, and now the playoff team to be out of reach, that those organizations are willing to make changes because they've seen enough.
Love Chuck Fletcher, but I look at the mirror image of Minnesota now here in Philadelphia. Do you feel like at times that he's overly active as a general manager, and it just feels like, hey, you know, the sum of the parts just never seem to match up, both in Minnesota and now Philly?
Yeah, although Minnesota's a pretty good team right now after he's left a couple of years ago. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I don't blame him for making changes, taking big swings last year. I mean, I would, the Atkinson, Ryan Ellis, Ristolainen, they made some big deals. But I also think he feels the pressure from the organization, management, ownership above him to make those kind of changes. It might not be just on him, but the mix is not working, and the patience, however thin it is in Ottawa, I bet it's even thinner in Philly. So that'll be something to keep an eye on the next couple weeks.
Absolutely. Mike Johnson will have the call on TSN television tonight of the Sens and Carolina. Mike, enjoy the game. Always appreciate the insight. Look forward to chatting with you again next week.
All right, guys. Have a great day.